you know what that means. Other than when it's on Anthony's show and he tells Andrew to play the song, Tyler Zuli comes back because the Philadelphia 76ers took down their opponent tonight in the NBA 2K20 matchup on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyler Zuli's producer, I'm Devon Givens, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Tyler, what was the final score tonight?
So the last clip that our friends at NBC Sports Philly put up was an Embiid dunk that put them up 88-58. I don't know if that was the final score, but that had about 30 seconds left, so it had to be pretty close.
Ooh, crushed them. 88-58. That's where the Spurs are right now. They weren't going to make the postseason this year. The streak was probably going to end. So, you know, not surprised by that at all. 76ers played well at home. It was going to happen that way. It was just going to happen that way. I wanted to ask this as well. 610-632-0975. We were talking about this during the quarantine, and everyone is in self-isolation, and you have people celebrating their birthdays by, you see videos where people getting real creative, whether it be Zoom or some kid outside where they have a bunch of friends in a drive-by, a birthday celebration drive-by where they're just honking their horns and waving their hands and all of that. And my kids, this is when my kids' birthdays start to roll in, man, April, May, and June. So, you know, it's just going to be simple, at least for right now. But I was thinking about this, where people are watching television, watching TV shows, catching up on series, binge watching movies, things of that nature, documentaries, listening to everything about the coronavirus updates, all of it, right? But I wanted to know this, sports related, when it comes to the coronavirus and COVID-19, when you're at home and you are with, let's just say, a non-sports fan or a casual sports fan, and now you're also watching the replays. NBC Sports Philadelphia, ESPN, NBA TV, MLB Network, NFL Network, right? All of these games that we're seeing also on social media, they're put up on their Twitter accounts, whatever it might be. You might pull something up on YouTube that you just simply want to watch because, you know what? I have not had a chance to watch this old game that I loved. Let me go back to it. Is there one sport? Is there one sport between baseball, basketball, football, and hockey that you find easiest to pull in that casual or non-sports fan? Is there one sport where you feel like, you know what? If this person is interested, and you have to explain this one because you are watching a replay. You're not watching anything current. You're watching one of the replays or you're playing a video game and they want to play the video game. How does this work? They're playing the NHL game, Major League Baseball, the show, NBA 2K20, Madden, whatever it might be, or watching one of these games that are being re-televised, right? Are we rewatchable, as one a particular popular podcast of Bill Simmons will say? Is there one sport that you feel like is the easiest and that you may have already been here and done this with whoever that casual or non-sports fan is? Because I know I recently, explained basketball, just kind of really got into it with a friend of mine where they really got into it based off of the explanation of a lot of things that I was able to do. Already understood it, but more deeper into it than before. And I think basketball is easy to explain. Some people feel like, when I've tried to explain basketball in the past, that it is not very easy to explain. The NFL, having trouble with explaining that one, whatever it might be. But is there some sport during the quarantine times that you found yourself with a casual sports fan or even a non-sports fan that has taken an interest in sport, but there was one in particular that you felt was easier to explain to this person that now has this newfound interest in one of these games. The four major sports. You know, no disrespect to soccer or anything else. 610-632-0975. Ty, have you, do you have an, I mean, you're a big baseball guy.
Sure.
You're a big basketball, you love college football, you love the NFL, hockey as well. Is there any one sport that you felt is easier to explain, easiest one to explain? And have you had to do this?
I haven't really had to do it too much lately because the people that I live with, namely my mom and my brother, my mom is actually really well-versed in sports.
Right.
Puts all, I think, a lot of my other friends' moms to shame when it comes to well-versed in sports. And my brother doesn't care about sports at all.
Right.
So there's no point in trying to explain it to him. It would be like me talking to a brick wall. So I really haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to interact with them with explaining a sport. I would say that when you look at it on the surface, baseball on the surface would be the one you would think would be the easiest to explain. It's see ball, hit ball. But
and you have time in between
right.
to also do it. Football you do as well, but there's so much going on.
But I think the intricacies of explaining, managing, hit and run, pitching changes, that knocks it down.
Right, right.
So I would say without, even when you go to the intricacies, you know, what is a hedge? Why do guys screen at the top as opposed to on the side? You know, all of that being said, I think basketball is probably the easiest one to explain.
Okay.
And it's probably also the easiest one to get people invested in, simply because you can put a name to a face to a name quickly, especially when a guy like LeBron does something crazy, you know, throws a crazy dunk down, they pan right in on his face and you see him. So I think that basketball would be the one that you could hook somebody the quickest on.
Has anyone had to do this? We wanted to ask this to the people out there listening as we talk about the NFL draft, Major League Baseball season, the NBA draft, and what everyone is doing. Has anyone had to do this, or where they've had their family in the home, friend who's been with you guys, have been stuck in the house together? Not a bad thing, but you've been in the house together. There are a lot of games you're rewatching. There are some video games that you're taking an interest in, of course, a little bit more because you have the ability, you have the time to now do this. Have you had to explain one game more than the other? And I don't mean like a Pistons Lakers versus a Warriors Hornets game. I mean one of these four major sports. Have you had to explain a game to someone that they've taken this interest in? And have you found it easy? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Q in Center City, checking in with us next on the Fanatic. Q, what's up, man?
LeBron, what's going on?
Oh, not much, man. It's Friday night, you know.
Right, right. Now, you was talking about the draft, NFL draft, man. And I don't know, did the GMs get a chance to, like, sit down and talk to the players, like face-to-face meetings?
Well, they did have that opportunity at the combine, and now they are able to speak to them via video chat.
Okay. See, that I thought, okay, all right, cool. So the Wonderlic and all that, that's already been done?
I think they do that at the combine. Okay, I want to say they do it at the combine. I could be wrong, but I want to say they do it at the combine.
See, my whole thing with this, I didn't know if all, what was did everybody get a chance to get their just due in reference to meeting a player, scouting a player, that kind of thing. You know, I know they do that. It's like a all year round thing. But I know leading up to the draft, when you like really making your board and coming up with your, you know, who's the best at best fit, you know, making up your board, that you want to do a little due diligence. And I don't know if they was able to do that at this time. And with football, it just seemed like the camaraderie, the 11-on-11. Everybody got to be tuned in. I just think that, you know, that face-to-face meeting is going to be the real telltale with a sport that's so physical. You know, you got to see if the person really got the dog in them. You can't get that off combine, off college play. Like, a lot of people be burned out by this time and just want to get the bread. So I guess you got to, like, find out who's really here to gonna come to play and who's not. So I don't know how much, you know, with this whole COVID thing going to, you know, make the draft be. It just seemed like it's lackluster.
Well, and again, that's why I just, you know, I'm not in any rush to really see it. I'll look forward to doing the draft show I'm sure we will. You'd serve one of the stages talking about it, and it's going to be on a Thursday night, so I would assume that you know, I will be in here, Joe Torti, one of us will be in here, or if not, both of us doing that during that show. But for me, man, with everybody in their evaluation, and yes, it is difficult because you did not have the opportunity, everyone, to at least sit in front of a general manager, go into these different cities, go into these practice facilities and sit down and, you know, break down a play on the whiteboard for the coach that they call up that they want to see done for a quarterback, whatever it might be. And the small schools, players, they suffer. But in terms of the general managers and the scouts and the coaches, listen, man, they have more opportunity now where they cannot go anywhere. They are stuck in the house. They are looking at this film, reading their notes, going over their notes, and still have the opportunity to speak to people. This is when they are going to really earn their money, Q, right? Because they cannot. They are also doing it differently here with how this draft will be unique for the first time with how they're going to get it done. So you feel bad for the players, but you know what, man? You find those diamonds in the rough. You find it. And maybe the NFL will do something where they allow maybe extra bodies in the camp this year, right, or something like that to give these players that may have missed out on being drafted an opportunity because of the unique situation that we're now in.
And you know what, Devon? What I see is this. Those that draft well going to make out, and those that don't, which is unfortunate for us, going to have some issues. That's what I see with this. That those that do it well, they're gonna have a cheat sheet, and they're gonna do well. And those that don't, there ain't gonna be no hope for them.
I hear you, man. Listen, Q, thanks for the call, man. And by the way, I wanted to ask you, since you and I talked about the stuff with our daughters and this prom and graduation and all that stuff, how's things going for you?
I mean, they shut it down.
Right.
I got one that's like she's going to the military, and I got one that's like she's really upset for her big sister because her big sister ain't going to be able to get that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about hopefully I could take them on a cruise before I like lose them or do something really special for them. But at this point right now, like I'm watching my kids, man, and they're not saying nothing. It seems like they're like depressed. I'm being honest, man.
Really?
My girls ain't saying nothing. They sitting in the house. They done ran through everything they want to do, and I'm just looking at them. They're not like causing no mischief or nothing, but I'm seeing like they ain't talking much. It seemed like isolation in a sense. The stuff they tell you don't do, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm seeing my girls, and I'm just looking at them like, you know, I'm trying to find something to do. Every 5 minutes, I'm asking, you okay? You know?
Yeah.
It's just difficult, man.
Yeah, and mine are just, as they always say, they're just bored. I mean, they've watched all the TV shows, they've done their homework, and they don't even really play games that much anymore. The only ones they play is Sims. They're big on Sims more so than any of the video game
TikTok
systems.
My daughter's just TikToked out.
Yeah, exactly. My daughter was like, Dad, we got to do a TikTok at some point. She hasn't done any of that stuff because I think she's just done with it. Man, Q, have a good one, man. We'll talk to you, of course, 610-632-0975. And remember, we talked about this before where we had the dilemma. My daughter is a senior in high school, and, you know, her and her mom found the dress and all that stuff that they were going to get made. We talked about that. I shared it with everyone. And it was, you know, it was going to cost whatever it was going to cost. And I threw it out to everyone. Q was one of the people called in. I remember because his daughter is also a senior in high school, and we were discussing the prom and all of that and how we're handling things because we had already put money down on the dress to be made for her prom. And so mom says to me, hey, I wanted to give the lady some more money because we just didn't play it flat out. We were just going to do it as, you know, pay it over time and make sure everything was done the right way and pay it over time and all that. And I'm like, I remember explaining to everyone that I did not want to give any money up because I just had a bad feeling based on the information that we were able to be privy to due to COVID-19 with the NBA getting ready to shut down. And then things now that the dominoes started to fall for everywhere else. And I'm like, I don't want to give that money up, not knowing that we're going to have a prom to go to. And we took a lot of calls on that. Yeah, and now here we are a few weeks later where the schools are shut down. Other states, they shut down earlier and we know all of that. But in this particular case, like Q said, his daughter's going to the military. We're still trying to decide on our school for our daughter, and she's trying to pick where she wants to go. And at this point, we had some setups for tours, right? You know, at the campus tours that they give you One was supposed to be in early March that we were going to. We finally got accepted to that school anyway, but we haven't seen it, right? And now this is just, this is the other real life stuff that happens when you talk about the finances that everyone is going through, losing your job. Things like this, where kids are going to miss out on prom, graduation. In my case, where I explain, my daughter goes to a performing arts school, so they always have their video at the end of the year. So we've gone to every show she's put on. All the seniors perform at the end of the year. They have a show, a spring show, right? The seniors get on stage. We've seen these 3 years in a row where from her freshman year, sophomore, junior, now she's a senior, but we've seen the seniors each year from when she's performed at these shows. And they always do from freshman year that they keep the video from freshman year all the way up until now. And they have them sit on the stage. The show is done. They put it up on the video projector, puts the on the wall what the video is going to look like. They all sit there. They all introduce with their shirts, right, their hoodies of what school they decided to attend in the fall for their new start. And that's the one thing for me that I said then that, you know, selfishly for me, and I know the prom and the graduation and all that stuff is definitely on my list, but to have her sit there and enjoy that with her classmates, these girls that she's danced with for 4 years, and they've been through everything together and watched them all grow, specifically her close friends that I know and all of that. You know, it stinks. It stinks. And that's when the real life stuff comes into play, where you have something like this where Q's daughter is now going into the military, and most likely she's going to have to leave early when she's allowed to, and it's not leaving early to be able to spend a vacation with her father and her sister and her mother and all. She just has to go, right? And if they do have a prom, you hear some things where they might try to set up a graduation later. They might try to set up a prom later on, maybe in the late summer, the fall, when we're able to have those gatherings again. Some of these students are going to go to schools on the West Coast, in the Midwest, still here on the East Coast, but maybe in New York or Boston or D.C., and they are unable to, down south, unable to come back. So this stuff, that stuff stinks. I hate that stuff. I hate seeing people lose jobs. But when you're in it, also in this case, where I have my daughter and many people have their kids that are seniors. Everyone has. My cousin, I was talking to him yesterday about what he's doing with my younger cousin who plays basketball, and the recruitment and stuff was still ongoing. And, you know, what? You talk to one coach, they can still call you and all that, but what about the tour, right? The tour of going to see the school and looking at all that, and it is tough. It is tough in these cases. So you feel bad for the kids in a situation like this. So.
I think a lot of times, too, I know my particular situation is not atypical, where I had a bunch of visits set up within like a span of like 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
like five or six schools in the span of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I hit the first one, which was I probably maybe dumbly in the fact that I didn't get a chance to look at the other ones, but smartly in the fact that it solidified what I probably already knew.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the first one was Penn State. We got home. We were supposed to go to Penn State that day, and the next day we were going to Delaware, I think. And I told my mom, I'm like, "No, we're canceling the tours." She's like, "What? You made your mind up already?" I said, "I made my mind up already. I want to where I want to be."
Yeah.
You know, you can get your opinion made by that tour. Yeah, you know, I walked around Penn State and I went, "Yeah, this is it. This is home for the next 4 years."
Yeah.
I didn't have to go everywhere else.
Right.
I may have made a different decision.
Had you gone to another one first?
Had I not been able to go to any at all.
At all, right.
You know, because Delaware was close to home. Maryland, I thought I had Maryland on my list as well. Had a really good communications program. TCU was also on my list. Had a nice communications program. I don't know if I would have ended up going there. It's pretty far. But Penn State was solidified based on my visit. You know, a lot of these kids are getting, not being able to go to these visits, and it stinks.
Yeah, it is tough. And she wanted, there was also one more score, and I know we got off on sports, but, you know, the real life stuff that we're all going through. She wanted one school in New York that she liked, and I'm like, that's a hard no. I didn't want her to go anyway. I actually wanted her to go to a local school away and stay on campus and all that. She's still up in the air on it, right? But we didn't get a chance to go and check it out. And we've had people who went to this particular school, and actually a couple of people who have been here went to this school as well and wanted to check it out, and we can't even go and do that. When then the one in New York, I just didn't want to go because I didn't think she was ready for New York, you know, just being honest. And she felt like she might be ready for New York and all that, but I'm like, if you think you might be ready for New York, you're not ready for New York. You need to know that you're ready for New York. And now with everything that's going on up there, even though things have calmed down, it's like, yeah, I definitely don't want you
going
to New York
now. It's a hard pass
now. Yeah, right?
The local
right?
away, too, and again, I can only speak for myself, but the local away thing is a great way to go. Because
I think local away.
You have the
hour away.
You have the ability to be on your own and be away, you know, in your own dorm or your apartment or whatever, do your own life, be an adult. But when you need to come home, you can come home.
I pretty much came home every weekend.
And that's the thing. You can go home on the weekend. You go home for the holidays. You don't have to worry about catching a flight. You can always just drive or take the bus.
A little bus costs like $10 round trip.
That's it.
Drop yourself at 30th Street. Back at it
good
on
to
Sunday.
Go. Good to go. Get home Sunday night.
There you go. 610, and I get to take mom's cooking home. You know, home. That was always great. 610-632-0975. We'll get back to the sports on the other side. And, I mean, listen, if you guys have something to throw in, you're dealing with it just like we are, where, hey, you know, we have kids just like you have kids as well. We're dealing with the senior year and the stuff that they are going through. You're just revisiting it right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons. 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
727 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli's producing. I'm Devon Givens. 610-632-0975. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Did you see that Tom Brady has now decided to we all know he's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and what he's doing is trying to trademark this is weird because I think it's kind of corny, like the TB12. All right, you get that makes sense and all of that, but what he tried so here's what he's trying to file for trademarks applications in Tampa for Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady. He intends to use the phrases what? On clothing and other merchandise. This is Darren Revelle filing first uncovered by Josh Gerben. The DP show has been selling Tampa Bay shirts. Dan Patrick show looks like has been selling Tampa Bay shirts. I actually think that's corny.
Super lame.
Just call it for what it is. It's corny. Right? It's corny.
It's incredibly lame.
Now, when SportsCenter put this out there earlier on their Twitter account, says Tom Brady, of course, hopes to trademark user for merchandise, including clothing, headwear, footwear. Tom Brady jumps in on his Twitter account and says, I never understood why Drew wasn't making Drew Orleans shirts. That sounds better.
Yeah, it rhymes.
That sounds better. Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady, kind of corny. No, it is corny.
Yeah, there's no kind of about it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Corny.
The Drew Orleans makes at least. I mean, it's still kind of lame, but at least it makes sense.
Much
Drew
better.
A new rhyme.
Yeah, this Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady. Yeah,
Tampa Bay doesn't even. You have to think about, like, right before you go to say it.
Exactly.
You got to make your mind say it.
You want
to
say
New Orleans makes sense.
Tonka truck.
Right.
That's where you're going. Not Tampa Brady. That's corny. And people will buy it because it's
100%.
They're going to be excited and all of that. The fact that he's in Tampa. And I get it, but it's just, it's weak. You know, he's you hate to say it, but and we know who he is, but he's always come off like, Tom's kind of corny.
We got to get you. We got to get you some T-shirts that say that and just make you some easy money.
Yeah, I'm not.
You don't want to put your name in a city?
No. What city would it be? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come up with something.
Nothing rhymes with my name.
Apparently, it doesn't have to rhyme. You just have to take the A and change it to an O.
100%. 100%. My bad. 100%. 610-632-0975. And I was checking something out. I was checking something out with this as well. And again, we'll get back to the sports. We have plenty of time to do that. We're here until 10 o'clock. Talk about some fun stuff as well. Local guy, Will Smith. I was checking something out, and they were going over Enemy of the State, a Will Smith film that was 1998. He started making movies in 1992. We already know everything about the great run that he had with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air from 90 to 96. And 90 to 96, and it seems like it just went so long because it was so great, right? 90 to 96. They were talking about Enemy of the State and how great Enemy of the State is, and I agree with Gene Hackman and so many others. Jack Black is in there, and so many people, right, are in the movie. Lisa Bonet looks great in it. Fantastic, as always. So I was wondering, man, because I saw Bad Boys for Life when that came out in the theaters. Actually, it came out in theaters in January, and I went to see it on the day that Kobe Bryant passed away in the horrible helicopter accident. He and his daughter and the seven other people unfortunately lost their lives, and we were watching it. I need to rewatch it now because while I was watching it, once I started to get the messages when one of my friends sent it to me to kind of confirm, actually tip me off because I wasn't paying attention, right? I'm watching the film with my daughters, and it just had me thinking of Will Smith and the great run that he's had from Fresh Prince, television-wise, and his movies. Enemy of the State is a great movie, but he's also had some of them where I'm like, yeah, I kind of don't care. I don't want to see that. And I feel bad because you always support the people. I'm from Winfield. He's from Overbrook. We see him around the neighborhood. I remember when they made, me and my best friend were walking home from school when they made the video for I Think I Could Beat Mike Tyson around the way. We probably would live like 10 minutes apart from each other, from where I was in Winfield to where he was, where he grew up, and all of that. He went to Overbrook. I decided not to go to Overbrook because I just didn't want to go because all of my people were there. I was like, I'm going somewhere else. Anyway, what? Because that's a great movie, Enemy of the State. Whenever it's on, wherever it is, whenever the movie is, I watch it. And it's great that Mike and Ty and Nat were talking about the movies and the actors of their filmography and what they've done. What's the best Will Smith movie, Ty? We know Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, an all-time great sitcom. We know it. The range that he showed in different spots, like the one with the episode where he's losing it because Ben Vereen is his dad. He came into his life. He's flipping out on Uncle Phil. Why doesn't he want me? All that, right? Great episode. We all remember it. But movies. What's the best Will Smith movie, Ty?
For me, it's tough to go against Bad Boys. And I haven't seen the new one yet, and you tell
it's
me that
very good.
You give me some high praise
even
about
with
it.
The hiatus, it's very good.
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it, but I think I have to go with Bad Boys. I think they have a great chemistry in that movie. I think it's fun, it's fast paced, a lot of action. I mean, for me, as much as I love movies like I Am Legend, I think that's a great movie too. Bad Boys, I don't think you can top Bad Boys.
Yeah, I think I want to go Bad Boys as well. He has so many really, really, really good ones. Some that may not be great, but you still like them. Some that were just flat out duds, and you say, Will, why did you make that one?
Paycheck Cash the same, didn't it?
Yeah, that's why. And he became one of the top A-list actors in Hollywood. So,
Have you seen him in the new Aladdin yet?
I have not.
Okay.
And I was told that he was very good in it.
He's very good.
And I was told the movie was actually not bad.
The only thing that you can't do, and I don't know how much of the cartoon, the original animated one you remember.
Okay.
The only thing you can't do is go in expecting Robin Williams' genie.
Okay.
If you can go in expecting a new genie, Will Smith is fantastic in it.
Okay.
It took me probably the first 20 minutes to separate the two, because I'm a big Disney guy. I like a lot of the songs and the movie, and they're kind of my happy, you know, release of some sorts to get away from the world. It took me a while to separate the two. Once you do, you realize how good he is in it.
Okay, all right, and I got to be honest with you, I was like, good for him. You know, he's getting money for it, and it is a big production because it's Aladdin. But I had no interest in watching it. And you know me with my daughters and, you know, with our family, with what we watch. I watch the cartoons. I watch Disney and Nickelodeon. I know all of these shows. I've been to a Big Time Rush concert with my daughter, right? This is what we do. But I just didn't want to see Aladdin. I just did not want to see
the live action stuff's kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't know, you know.
But he does a great job in it.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to throw up with the sports stuff that we're talking about with the NBA, the NFL draft, Major League Baseball, with the reconfiguration of the league as they try to figure out how to get the 2020 season going with the two spring training leagues where the Yankees and the Phillies will be with the Toronto Blue Jays and all, right? Pittsburgh Pirates in the same division, if you will. That stuff that we were talking about, asking everybody about Will Smith. Listening to something, checking it out. Enemy of the State, they were talking about how this was his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th movie during his start of his movie career. And I'll say here are his movies from 95 to Enemy of the State. Bad Boys, Independence Day, that was a year later. Men in Black, that was a year after Independence Day. And then Enemy of the State. That's a great run right there. Bad Boys, Independence Day, Men in Black, and then Enemy of the State. It's the best Will Smith movie out there, people. 610-632-0975. Because some might say that those are his better movies. We're not talking about what grossed the most and all that. Which one do you just flat out enjoy the most? It might be, as Tyler said, just thinking back to I Am Legend, where he may not love it. He liked it, didn't love it, but he liked it. He liked it. So I'll go Bad Boys with you, Ty. 610-632-0975. But there's so many other ones. And, I mean, he's a popular guy, certainly. He's one of the best, right, in the last 20-year run, I guess you can say now.
And I think he's got a couple of movies that, I don't know how other people feel, but I think he's got a couple of movies that are not great, but they're enjoyable. And I think there's a couple of more of the hard-hitting subjects that you would objectively say could be good that, you know, you kind of pass up on.
Okay.
Like we talked about before the show. I know Wild Wild West is a terrible movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
But I love watching it. I don't know why. It always piqued my interest. I know it's a terrible movie, but it always got me. I always was entertained by it.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. It was like, damn, you know. I think it was Kevin Kline and Salma Hayek were in it with Will Smith, and obviously Salma Hayek at that time was Salma Hayek, and you're like, all right, but it was corny. And then you found out that he was supposed to be, at least he was offered. When I was listening to it, he was supposed to be in one of the other big movies, but he decided to go with Wild Wild West instead. And it was like, man, that was a bad miss right there by Will, because Wild Wild West did not do as well as he thought. And we know what Wild Wild West meant and what it was in the past and all that stuff. But that was a miss for him with that particular movie. So
you know what movie it was,
what
right?
What was it?
It was The Matrix.
The Matrix, yes. He was supposed to be Neo, right? Yes, he was
turned down the Matrix for Wild Wild West.
Man, imagine him having that one as a franchise to go along with the franchises that he already has with Bad Boys, with Bad Boys, Men in Black, having the Matrix with that one as well. 610-632-0975. Could you see him in that one? Of course you could have seen him in that one. 610-632-0975. We'll continue that. Also with the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA discussion, as well as asking you, have you had to teach anybody a new sport during this quarantine time? What sport was the easiest to have to teach if you have had to do so? 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.975 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens with you. The 7 o'clock hour again brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. 610-632-0975. Let's check in on some of the Twitter. We've been ignoring some of the stuff here on Twitter. And check in real fast and see exactly what some of the folks are saying. So let's go to Barry Schaefer here. I haven't paid as much attention to the MLB in recent years as I used to, but I have to think this helps them tremendously. The Yankees are a juggernaut, but the Phillies should be better than the other three. It gets them out of maybe baseball's toughest division. And I understand where Barry's coming from, but the change, and we know it would only be temporary. It would be, we hope, for this season, and they don't get any bright ideas thereafter. But I just don't see it. I don't see it. But it's not the worst idea that we've heard with the other sports, specifically with the NBA and the bubble and what they're trying to do. I don't want to see the horse matchup that they're going to have on Sunday. I won't watch it. I'll be honest. I won't watch it. I understand, and maybe I will just because, of course, for work purposes, and so we can talk about it. But I'm not all that excited. I'm not excited at all about horse. I love playing horse. I don't want to watch it. It's different when I'm watching it when we're out there playing it and I'm not involved at the moment and you get to see what happens. But I don't want to see Chris Paul and Trey Young, whatever they're doing, and Tamika Catchings and whoever else is out there. I don't even know who else is in there because I don't care. I just do not care about this one. But the Yankees and the Phillies in this particular division, it might be that. It might be that. And maybe it would, because it would be a, let's say, a 72-game season, right? And we're going to be locked in because we want to see what the Phillies do, specifically. We're going to see what the Phillies do. And yes, the Yankees will be in the division now, and you'll play everybody else in the league and figure things out. We get together for the World Series, and hopefully the Phillies will be there. But I just don't like it. And Tyler doesn't think that they're going to play the season at all. Just like for me in the NBA and the NHL, I don't think that they're going to find a way to get back on the court in the ice to finish off the 2019-20 season or start their postseason. I just don't.
Well, and the NHL, too, I believe, has put out something that says that they would be trying to restart at the regular season.
Really?
I think I saw that, to make some extra money.
Uh-huh.
My question is do they not make more money in the playoffs, in the postseason? Doesn't ad revenue go up? Doesn't billboard whatever go up? TV all go, you think, right?
Yes.
So what's the point of having the Detroit Red Wings play? They're like the worst team I've ever seen.
With 11 games left?
Yeah, you're only got a handful of games left.
10, 9 games left or something like that? What are you doing that for? What are you doing that for?
If they're going to play, just go to the playoffs.
And where were they again? North Dakota they were going to try to go to?
Yeah, saw North Dakota. And here's the thing, too, with the NHL now, there's no issue with ice anymore. These arenas are all, air-conditioned and can keep the ice intact well into the summer months.
Right.
So that's not going to deter them from not playing. I just don't believe it's going to happen.
I don't either. And I just don't. But we're seeing... Was I right when I saw Tua's workout pro day? Was that real?
Yeah. Yeah, it was virtual,
yeah.
I think they were calling it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that because, listen, we work together. We're around other people. We're careful. I'm sure they are. They have to do their testing and all that in order for these guys to have their pro days. But they're still having their pro days. They're around there. My point is, are they going to want to have 27 players, right, coaches, all together, officials, out there on the ice? In the NBA?
Yeah, I don't think so.
The four teams on each side, even though they'll be in the stands or whatever the heck they were saying, like in baseball, you put all the teams in stands, they sit apart, and there's enough room in the ballpark where they can be separated enough where the social distancing is still ongoing.
Like, that's all well and good and all, but what happens when you've got three guys within the span of 4 feet? You've got a hitter, a catcher, and an umpire literally in the span of 4 feet of each other.
I know. It's wild. But listen, I can't be mad at them for trying to find ways, but at the end of the day, it's almost out of their hands. They can come up with these options and think of all these different things, different ideas, but they still have to wait to get the green light from, number one, the White House, number two, the doctors, number three, their doctors, and then number four, everybody just has to be on board where Oklahoma City wants to play the Utah Jazz again. And by the way, did you see this thing with Rudy Gobert where Donovan Mitchell in the story from The Athletic with Sam Amick, and I have no reason to not believe what Sam Amick is saying here with The Athletic, who covers the NBA, does a fantastic job covering the league, Sam Amick does. And there's a story out there that it's Mitchell, who it seems does not have much interest in right now fixing the relationship with Rudy Gobert. You're two all-stars. You might as well say they are the cornerstones of the franchise. I mean, you have other people there that are very good, but those are your two all-stars right there. And are they not going to be able to coexist? Is this going to be a problem going forward? I'm looking at here, Josh Eberle said he did not get vibe reading the whole article that Mitchell are much of an impasse. Everyone is sharing the first part and ignoring Ingles' quote. So, but this is interesting because Joe Ingles says stuff. He says, the source says it doesn't appear salvageable with knowledge of the situation. Ingles, who is very outspoken, I believe Joe Ingles tells the truth. He's one of the leaders of the team. I'm confident our team is going to be totally fine, Ingles said. I heard Donovan's response on Good Morning America or whatever it was to that question. And a part of that is on Donovan and Rudy to sort out if he's frustrated with him or whatever. But I have no doubt when we go back to training or when our season starts again, our team is going to be what we have been and what we are. I'm confident our team will be completely fine. The chemistry will be fine. Now, of course, I mean, he wants to say that because he wants to make sure that everything is good. But when you do see something from this article and someone who covers the league has a reputation like this, you can't throw stuff out there. A source said something. Sure, he, backtracked his sources and all that. It doesn't appear salvageable. It's not good. It's not good.
No, it's not.
Not good.
It looks to me like this is super similar to the Alshon Jeffrey story in terms of people are going to use the, well, it's a source. But sources generally have legs in that whole when there's smoke, there's fire type thing.
Uh-huh.
I still believe there is a lot of issues in the Eagles locker room with Alshon Jeffrey.
Uh-huh.
I now believe that there's issues in the Utah Jazz locker room between these two. I don't know how exaggerated they are, but I think there's issues for sure.
I believe so. I mean, when something like this happens, of course. Of course. So, I mean, that's interesting. That's weird in its own way, but there's just a lot going on. And I mentioned Rudy Gay and Gobert. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell with the Jazz playing against the Thunder, only because we're talking about teams wanting to get back on the floor and players feeling comfortable being on the floor opposite one another with everything going on. But we can talk about all these different things that we want. They have to want to also get back on the floor knowing that everything is okay.
Well, and are teams going to eventually mandate their players get back on the field or on the court or on the ice? Like, what happens if a locker room is split? What happens if there's, you know, seven guys in the locker room that want to play and eight that don't?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, five, you're going to dress 12. Will the teams just be like, hey, you're out there or you're getting fined? Or is it going to be some kind of ease it in process where I don't know if you're going to play with seven guys to start the season again?
I don't know.
A lot of figuring out to do.
And that just goes back to our NFL draft and NBA, Major League Baseball. There's a lot of figuring out to do. No one has any answers. On the other side, we will introduce the Sidney Jones audio from John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia. He had a sit down via video again. I'm guessing Zoom. I don't know. But a video conversation with Eagles cornerback Sidney Jones. And he says some interesting things, and I want to see where the people are and hear Tyler Zuli's response to what Sidney Jones had to say. We'll play it on the other side. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens with you on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.